Hi, welcome to Real Talk for Real People with Coach Rodney Young. Real Talk is sponsored by Roman Grace Apparel. Before you shop any place, make sure it's Roman Grace. Now, are you ready for Real Talk? Here's your host, Coach Rodney Young.
Yo, what is going on, y'all? This is your friendly neighborhood coach, Road Dog Fitness owner, Juice Plus owner and distributor. I am the leader of the Real Talk for Real People podcast and live webcast nation, but I'm an all-around nice guy. Welcome to the next installment of Real Talk for Real People with the coach. Who is that? That's me. Listen, we're going to get into part two of Till Death Do Us Part. Okay, we're going to talk about how to have a healthy relationship and how to have a healthy marriage. All right, so we're going to get into this in a minute, but I want you to listen to Friends and Strangers by Ronnie Laws. Listen, you can catch me on Facebook at Coach Young. You can catch me on IG at CoachYoung.34. You can go to my website, which is RodneyYoungORG.wordpress.com, or you can give me a call and leave me a message at 623-777-9502. Man, this is just a wonderful time to be with you guys. I'm glad to get back at this. I want to give you guys some more information, some more meat when it comes to having a good relationship and having a wonderful marriage. So we're going to get into this. Let's listen a little bit more to Ronnie Law. So let me give y'all a little bit of background here. You know, I'm not going to go back over what we did in the first episode. I really need you guys, if you didn't hear episode one, you need to go ahead and go and listen to episode one, because episode two here, part two, is going to piggyback off of part one. Let me give you guys a little bit of info if you haven't heard it before. I have been married for 27 years to my queen, Treva. We have three wonderful children. Brittany, Rodney Young Jr., and Joshua Young. And it has been a blast. My wife is my best friend. But let me preface this by saying we had to build. We had some trials and tribulations. We had some ups and downs. We had some hurdles, and obstacles that we had to go through. But because of God, we got through them. Okay. It wasn't me. It wasn't her. It was because of God that we got through those things. And God placed people in our lives that gave us, you know, godly advice and helped us get through a lot of the trials and tribulations that we went through. Okay. So I always say that because I want people to understand, because a lot of people look at me and Treva's marriage and they say, hey, that's the type of marriage I want. Well, bless y'all, you know, saying that. But I want y'all to understand that we ain't the Cosbys. I'm not Cliff and she not Claire. And what I mean by that is they portray that type of relationship as if it was kind of perfect. OK, but it wasn't. They were very successful. OK, Cliff being a doctor, Claire being a lawyer. I get that. But in terms of their relationship, there was really no, you know, ups and downs. You know what I mean? So, you know, I say that because I don't want people to get it twisted that everything in our lives have been perfect, because it's not. So, you know, I want to give you guys that. Number two, I had great examples in my life. My mother and father were married for 56 years. My brother and sister, you know, Ron and Donita Hale, they've been married, you know, over 30 years. Pastor D's father, Paul and Ruby Banks, have been married for over 50 years. I've seen some great examples. Okay. I've also seen some poor ones. All right. No names, please. Okay. But the one thing that I've noticed with good marriages, with good relationships, is there was always a foundation. And that foundation was based on God. Now, I know there are going to be people that's going to debate me. Oh, well, you know, our marriage is pretty good and that I ain't looking for pretty good. You got to have a foundation in your relationship and a foundation in your marriage. And to me, that foundation is based on the word of God. And so it's almost like if you don't have that foundation, you are building your structure on quicksand. That's exactly what you're doing. You're building it on quicksand because it's going to sink. All right. Then also, you know, and we'll get into this. You know, there's a lot of times where husbands don't understand what their role is and wives don't understand what their roles are. And it causes dissension. It causes confusion. It causes discourse, dismay, all the disses that you can possibly think of that that it will do. So what I want to do is what we're going to get into. And I talked about, like I said, get with the program from the first episode. There are five aspects of a good marriage that I'm going to talk about. You know, I talked about expectation and communication. So in this episode, we're going to talk about problem solving and love and understanding. Okay. Then the final episode is going to be about submission. Okay. Submission in your marriage, you know, ladies submitting to your husbands and men submitting to your wives and how that word submission, number one, is misunderstood, not only, you know, outside in the world, but it's misunderstood in the church. And also, submission can be used sometimes like a terrorist, you know, a terrorist guide, you know. And so we're going to get into that. But today we're going to talk about problem solving and love and understanding. So let's get to it. All right. So problem solving. All right. There are many different aspects of problem solving, you know, that you can go through. But what I want to talk about first is problem causes, because there are in relationships and definitely in a marriage, there are causes for problems. And if you don't understand how to handle it, then I mean, it can absolutely balloon and expand into, you know, a whole lot of arguing and a whole lot of, you know, backbiting back and forth, all of that. So let's go through this. So number one is money. Okay. And I use, you know, my mother and father for an example, because for me, it always seemed like the only time that they had strong fellowship or disagreements is when it dealt with money. And, you know, my mother always had an adage. She said, well, I had to rob Peter to pay Paul. And I grew up in the house and I would hear her say that all the time. And I knew what she meant by robbing Peter to pay Paul. Sometimes you got to shift some things here and shift some things there. But then when I became an adult, it just hit me. I said this to her, God rest her soul. I said this to her. I said, you always say you had to rob Peter to pay Paul, but how, you know, you got to pay Peter back, right? And she looked at me and she was like, boy, get out of here. You know how your parents do it, but get out of here. But you know what I'm saying? Money always seemed to cause certain disagreements when it came to my parents. And I can only talk about my parents. You know, but it wasn't just, you know, and I don't get into that laying blame. It wasn't just mom, you know, dad had a responsibility too. And that's why I want to address the men, is because, you know, my dad, and he worked very hard. He worked for the City of Cleveland Division of Streets for over 30 years. Okay. What the only thing that dad did that he probably could have did differently, and I say this to, you know, every couple, is when you're doing your bills, when it comes to money, You guys need to sit down and talk about it. Okay. What dad would do is he would give his check to mom and just tell mom to handle it. But then he would get upset when she didn't handle it the way he wanted it to be handled. So I'll never forget when I told my dad, and of course I was an adult, you know, and I always went to him respectfully. And I said to him, I said, Pop, if you have a problem with mom, the way she takes care of the bills, then sit down with her and you guys talk about what needs to be paid and what doesn't need to be paid at the time, you know. And of course, you know, and he looked at me, because my father's a very, very wise man, and he understood that, you know, but his mindset was, if I'm trusting you to do this, then I expect you to do it, you know, in excellency. But like I shared with him, her mind is, I'm doing it with excellency, but it's not up to what you want. So you have to be able to communicate that. So, you know, who, you know, and honestly, you know, brothers, you know, you should be dealing with the finances. Not saying that your wife can't, but if you want it done, you know, either do it yourself or communicate with your mate about what you want. Now, the great part about me and the queen is that we talk about our finances. Not in the beginning, we didn't, but now we definitely talk about our finances. Okay. She lets me know when things got to get paid, when stuff has got to get done, or she'll say, hey, I need to do this here. Do you want me to do this here? Yeah, baby, go ahead and pay that. Or baby, no, hold off on that. Let's go here and let's do this. And I find it to be so much more relaxing, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times, you know, when them bills get paid, you like, you know, and but they're going to be there. So you got to be able to move in unity to be able to, you know, pay the bills and be able to move money around. I'm going to say this right now. I am not a subscriber in married couples having separate bank accounts. I think that is lunacy. Okay. And I think that there causes so many problems is because you've created a separation in your marriage through your finances. I think that's lunacy. Okay. Maybe I'm just old school. Maybe that's just the way that I am. But I don't believe in, you have your own bank account, I have my own bank account. Or I've heard this term before. Oh, I just got my mad money. What you mad about? What you mad about? And why you so mad? Well, you got to have separate finances. Do you realize that that caused division? That will cause division in your marriage because you're dealing with separate bank accounts, but all the money is coming together. Listen, when my queen wants to do something, she'll come to me and ask me, and she'll say, honey, I like to do this, this, and this. Okay, baby, go ahead. If we got it, go ahead and do it. Okay. If we don't, then we don't, you know, and vice versa. If I go to her and say, hey, I want to make a purchase or something I want to do, and she'll say, well, wait a minute, we got to pay this, 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 and this, I might need you to hold off on that. Okay. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Okay. Because I'm not going to send my family in peril because of something that I want. But I do not subscribe to separate bank accounts. That is, listen, y'all can debate me if you want to. You're going to lose. It will cause a division in your marriage. If you are married, it will cause division in your marriage. I didn't say a relationship. Relationships, yeah, okay, that's different. You have your own bank account. He has his own bank account. That's fine. But once you say I do, then all that stuff stops, okay? Because you guys are all together. And there's got to be a responsibility between you two to be able to deal with and take and work with your money, you know, responsibly. All right. Man, I stayed on that too long. Let me go ahead. Next, poor communication. We talked about that in the previous episode. Poor communication. If you guys do not talk, then the enemy, the adversary, your opponent, the devil will always stick his nose in your business. Okay. And he will cause a problem in that. All right. Number three, your children. Okay, we talked about that in the previous episode. Children will cause division, and not purposely. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying your kids are going to cause problems, but if it's something comes up about your children, you guys got to be on the same page when dealing with your kids. Okay, as a parent of three. Okay, you have to be on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, then you guys, before you open your mouths, then you and your wife or you and your husband need to go into a back room, pray, and talk about it. You got to show, and it's funny, there's a Bernie Mac show talked about the united front. You have to show your children a united front. Okay. Now, like I said this before, there's a time where I talk, you know, when my parents would have a disagreement, and me being the young mischievous one, I would always go and try to do something that I wasn't supposed to do, but I knew mama was mad at dad, so I go to mama and ask mama. Well, they began to communicate, and they started to figure it out that I was being sneaky. So from that point, when they had a disagreement, if I went and I asked mom for something, she would say, "What did your dad say?" And my dad, I always thought, you know, bless my dad, much love to Robert Young Jr. I always thought that his standard answer was no. So that's why I never went to my pop and talked to my father, you know, about doing stuff, because I always felt that his standard answer was no, which is not true. Okay, it wasn't true, but that's the way I looked at my dad, because he was a disciplinarian. He was that guy. He knew, you know, that I was mischievous and that I was conniving and that I was manipulative, you know, at that young age, you know. And so he knew that, and he knew, even though him and mom were not on the same page, they were always on the same page when it came to me. You know, except for when it came to my grades. That's a whole nother subject. Anyway, I'm sure my siblings, my brother and my sisters will hear that and be like, yep, he got away with cold-blooded murder. All right, we ain't gonna get into that, all right, Bittermans. Anyway, number four, bad habits. What you know, is it a bad habit? Something that you deal with that, you know is a bad habit. You have a mate who is not a smoker, but you're a smoker. You know, you don't spend enough time because you out kicking it with your boys, or you go out kicking it with your girls. Let me say something when it comes to that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to kick it with your people, but I will suggest this. If you are married, I will suggest that you don't kick it. And I'm not saying diss them, but you going out with single people is going to do nothing but cause problems. Nothing but cause problems. Okay? Because you're married and you hanging out with a whole bunch of single ladies, or he's married and he's hanging out with a whole bunch of single men. I can't say that that's going to cause a problem, but it just might. Okay? So, you know, bad habits. You know, do you have a bad habit? Is it something that, you know, your mate has a problem with? I can be as transparent as possible on this Real Talk for Real People, because that's the way I am. I had an issue with pornography when we were in the beginning of our marriage. OK, I mean, I had a problem, and I can sit and I can honestly say that. OK, because God has really worked in me. OK, but when we first started in our relationship, me and the queen, I had an issue with pornography. I was watching movies and books and the whole nine. There was a store when we lived in Cleveland that I would go and get videotapes. And I was going in there so often that the owner knew me by my first name and told me where the videotapes were, the new videos that came out. That's how bad it was. That was a horrible habit. Now, you know, when the queen discovered it, and especially all the books that I used to have, which, you know, it was a horrible habit. All right. But one day, and I can say this story, one day I came home and she found all my books and she tore them up and she plastered it all in our room and all in the bathroom. And to say that I was incredibly embarrassed was an understatement. And it was a habit for me that I didn't know was a bad habit at the time. But what it also showed, it showed that I needed some other stimulation other than my wife. And I understood that. Okay. But it was a habit that God had to break. Okay. So if you have a bad habit, and like I said, guys, ladies, I'm not ashamed in being transparent because I know that what I've been through may help someone. So I'm not ashamed to say that I dealt with pornography. I'm not. Okay. I'm not ashamed to say that. Okay, because I know what God has done for me. I know how he's delivered me. And I know whatever bad habit that you have, that God can deliver you. But first, you got to give it to God. Okay, those, you know, Bible says those things that are in darkness soon shall come to light. Okay, so if you got a habit and you think that your mate don't know, that's fine. Your mate doesn't know, but God does. Okay, so I don't care what kind of closet you go in, what kind of bathroom or back door you go in. That habit is going to eventually be discovered. Okay. Number six, intimacy, you know, into me, I see. That's the way I look at intimacy. But if there's intimacy issues in your marriage, that can cause a problem. Okay. When, you know, I'll say this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not biblical for you to abstain from intimacy with your husband or husbands with your wives if you're angry at them. Let me say that again. Okay? And I'm coming from both ways. You cannot say because you mad, you cannot. That's not biblical, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Okay? If there is an issue, you deal with that issue, but don't, you cannot use intimacy as a power move. All right? I'm being dead honest. You cannot use it as a power move. But if there's an issue in terms of intimacy, you know, there needs to be a conversation. And it's an uncomfortable conversation, but it's got to be had, okay? Because that's not the main part of marriage. Did you hear what I just said? Intimacy is not the main part of marriage, but it is important in a marriage, okay? It's important. So if there's an intimacy problem, and I'm going to come back with a scripture for that, but if there's an intimacy problem, then it needs to be dealt with, okay? And listen, you have to learn one another. That's the great part about being intimate with one another. Now, it doesn't always mean sex. I mean, you know, there's a book by Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages. You know, understand and learn what your mate's love language is. You know, my mate's, you know, the queen's love language is acts of service. It is. I mean, she loves public affection. She loves for me to come and hug her and hold her hand and all that. But if I display or do some things like, you know, around the house, or, you know, this dude, sir, she loves acts of service. She does. Okay. So next is abuse. Now, I talked about this before when it came to the last episode, is that if you are in an abusive relationship, get out. If you are in an abusive marriage, get help. Okay? Get help. You know, but I'm also a firm believer is that if you're in an abusive relationship or an abusive marriage, then when you guys dated in a marriage, when you guys dated, there was abuse in the dating process and you just didn't pay attention to it. Whether it was verbal, whether it was physical, you just didn't pay attention to it. And I'm not just talking about the ladies. I'm talking about there's abuse with men also. That's a quiet thing that men don't talk about, is that there are men who are in marriages who have been abused. Okay. And so if you are in an abusive marriage, I want you, and I'm saying this to you, and Coach Young is saying this to you with every fiber of his being, go get help. Go get help. I truly believe that God can transform anybody. So that's why you don't hear Coach Young running to talking about divorce off the rip. No, you don't hear me talking about that, because I truly believe that God is a healer. He's a restorer. He's a repairer. Okay. That individual, whether it's that husband or that wife that is not acting right, I believe you got to give them to God. But you don't have to, listen, love don't mean getting slapped around. Okay, real talk. Love don't mean being slapped around. Okay, so if you're in an abusive relationship, if you're in an abusive marriage relationship, get out. Marriage, go get help. Okay. Lack of commitment. Okay. Now, when you talk about lack of commitment real quickly, is, you know, are you in this marriage for the long haul? Or are you finding every little thing that's causing problems in your marriage and you just refuse to work it out? You're not committed to it. Okay. Because you got to be committed to the bad or the good. That's why it says until death do us part. Okay. And last but not least is stress. Stress in a relationship and stress in a marriage can definitely cause a problem. Whether it's financial stress, whether it's stress in intimacy, you know, there's different types of stressors. And, you know, stress can cause so many problems within a relationship, within a marriage. It can cause so many difficulties. Okay. But you first must be able to identify the stressor. Now, if your mate is the stressor, okay, we got to work some things out. If your wife is the stressor or your husband is the stressor, then we got to work some things out, okay? If your boyfriend or your girlfriend is a stressor in the relationship, we got to sit down and talk about some things, you know? The Bible talks about where there's a multitude of counselors, there's safety, okay? And after this short break, I'm going to come back and then I'm going to give you some scripture. And then I'm also going to give you some ways on how to better work and problem solve. OK, so everybody sit tight. I'll be right back. We'll take this short commercial break. Hey, what's going on? Coming at you. Listen, are you tired of just wearing the same old clothes? Do you know that you're blessed and that you're redeemed by the Lord and you just want to shout it out loud or show people and be that walking billboard for Christ? Well, listen, I want you to go to RomanGrace.com. RomanGrace.com and go ahead and get your apparel and show the world how much you love God. Listen. There are clothes for men, women, kids, babies, accessories. Listen, before you shop any place, Coach Young is telling you to go to Roman Grace. That is RomanGrace.com. That again is RomanGrace.com. We are back. Welcome back to Real Talk for Real People, man. I hope you guys are really getting an understanding on how to have a good relationship and how to have a good marriage, how to deal with problem solving. I want you to understand something, and it's funny. I'm going to throw a little curveball here, guys, because I know when I first came on, I talked about that we're going to talk about problem solving and love and understanding, but I don't want to trample over all of these subjects. I mean, I spoke for an hour in the previous episode, and I don't want to try to rush things. So I'm going to take my time. So there's going to be a part three and a part four. And I think it's going to be best and for our couples and beneficial for our couples that, you know, for Coach Young to take his time. So what I want to do is there's a couple scriptures that I want to give you for a few things that we talked about in the, previous segment. Of course, we talked about, the problem causes, money, poor communication, children, bad habits, intimacy, abuse, lack of commitment, and stress. But there's a few that I want to give you scriptures on because, God is a problem solver. And so the first thing I want to tell you guys is whatever issues that you're dealing with, you got to give it to God. The Bible says, in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thine ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Everything, every problem in your life, you can give unto God. I really want you guys to understand that because he's the doctor, he's the lawyer, he's the physician, he's the counselor. Okay. He is, the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. Okay. And I really want you guys to understand is that the enemy, the adversary, your opponent, the devil, his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And in this day and age, he is really attacking marriages. And as I said in the previous episode, is that I look at how marriages are constructed nowadays, and it's a joke. It's a joke. And, like I said, I've had so many godly marriages in my life that I don't know anything different. Okay. And, every marriage is going to have its trials and tribulations, its difficulties. Every relationship is going to have it. But if you have a foundation, and that foundation is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you can give him anything. So first and foremost in problem solving, how do you solve the problems? You give it to God. You give it to God and let him do what he's been doing before we got here and what he's going to do after we leave. You pray. You talk. Okay. It baffles me, brothers, sisters, boys and girls, children of all ages, how people can be together and don't talk. I don't get that. I don't understand that. Help me with that. Even with my parents and some of the communication may have not been the most savory communication, they were still communicating. I don't know how you can be married to somebody and not talk to them. How does that work? Actually, it doesn't. So when we talked about problem causes, let's talk about problem solving. So with money, I want you to go to, and you can look up these scriptures on your own. Proverbs 21:20. With intimacy, go to Proverbs 5:18-19. Lack of commitment, Proverbs 18:22. Stress, 1 Chronicles 16:11. I just want to give you a few of those scriptures. Okay. With children, the Bible talks about train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. You can't get away from that responsibility of training your children. Okay. So, and I also wanted to give you these 10 things that you can do that's going to make, your relationship and your marriage a bit more successful if you think about this. But let me give you this quote, okay? And it says, "Never marry the one you can live with. Marry the one you can't live without." Okay, I think I said that in the previous one, but that's such a good one. I have to say it again. This one. "It's not a lack of love, but a lack of friendship that make unhappy marriages." Okay. And this one by Ruth Bell Graham. I love this one. It says, a good marriage is the union of two forgivers. Selah on that. I mean, Selah on that. Okay. Because you have to have forgiveness in your heart, because your mate is not perfect and neither are you. And if you walk in that thing thinking that your breath don't smell or your hind parts don't stink, then that's when you're going to have the most problems. Okay. Let me give you this top 10 and then I'm going to get out of here. And then we will come back and we will talk about love and understanding. And like I said, I don't want to rush this thing and I'm not going to rush this thing. So I'm going to stop after I do this top 10 and then we'll come back. And then we'll talk about love and understanding. And then the final episode will be submission. Okay. So here's the top 10 in how to help your marriage or your relationship. Number one, communicate clearly and often. Clearly and often. Make it clear. Okay. What you're trying to communicate, and talk often. Now, my queen, she knows. And there are times Coach Young can't shut up. I don't have a problem in talking. That phobia of not being able to talk doesn't affect me at all. I can talk. I know I can. Okay, as y'all probably already know. Number two, tell your spouse you are thankful for them. I'll even go a step further. You know, and that's why I always say, tell someone you love them. Don't always assume that you know, that they know. Tell your spouse you love them. I mean, that's not hard, you know. And you know, I would do this with my queen is I would tell her, I say, hey, if I told you that I love you today. And of course, she'd be like, nope, I love you. You know, let them know, you know. When your wife, affirm them. And wives, affirm your husbands. Tell them that you love them. You know, don't take it for granted that they know that you love them. Tell them, verbalize it. Okay, number three, make time. Man, this is date your wife, date your husband. Go on date nights. That's what I love about my queen. She come, hey, when is the next date night? You tell me. I don't care. Let's go. Where we go? We going to go to Benihana's? Where we going? You know, go to the movies, whatever you want to do. Date your mate. Just because you're married don't mean you got to stop dating them. And you got to stop, you know, doing things with them. Don't, come on, man. Come on. Date your spouse. Okay. Number four, plan some personal time. If you got kids, get rid of the kids. And listen, that personal time, it doesn't have to be like intimacy in terms of sex. Sometimes just get rid of your kids and then you guys just sit and watch a movie or eat some popcorn or something, some personal time. Have a conversation. That's a part of the communication. Okay. Number five. We talked about problems and disagreements, and we talked about how to handle those disagreements. But understand something. It's okay to disagree. It's okay. You disagree on something, that's fine. You're human. Okay? But what I'm saying is, don't let that disagreement manifest itself into something that's going to cause division in your household. Be able to sit down and talk about it. Keep the lines of communication open. But it's okay to disagree. And having said that, number six says, learn to forgive. You got to be able to forgive. You got to be able to forgive and you got to say that you're sorry. You know, I love my queen. My queen said this to me, and I think I said this in the previous episode. She told me, she said, love is not record keeping. And I always keep that in mind. It's not record keeping. You know, the OG, triple OG from the CLE gave me some of the best advice. He said, listen, man, You can't be having strong fellowship or disagreement with your wife and bring up stuff in the past. He was like, if you got a problem with something right now, then you talk about right now. Don't bring up something that happened 3 years ago. Because 3 years ago, you had an opportunity to say something and you didn't. So don't be bringing that stuff up. It's irrelevant for the conversation that you're having at that time. Well, you know, back in 1987, you did this. No, stop it. Quit. Are you kidding? Stop bringing up stuff in the past. Because I'm a firm believer, if you keep worrying about your past, you're going to slow down your presence, which is going to delay your future. Real talk. Okay? So learn to forgive. Number 7, understand behaviors. Okay? Real quick, understand behaviors. Understand the behavior. Okay? No disrespect to our ladies, but it's just a true statement. Women are emotional beings. You know, I say women think emotionally. No, women are emotional thinkers and men think emotionally. And I quickly explain that is that there are times, and not all women, I hate when people say all women are all men. I hate when women say, well, all men are like this. Well, there's a dude in Japan who is completely different. Do you know him? You know, or men say, she like all these girls. No, you don't know that because you ain't had all these girls. Talk about the right now. Okay. So understand behaviors. You know that women can be emotional. Now, the one thing about me, and I've said this, and I told my daughter this, my wife knows this. If you cry in front of me to elicit a emotion, I'm going to look at you crazy because I've already diagnosed that you're trying to elicit an emotion out of me. That's why you're crying. If you're crying because you're hurt or you're generally, you know, grieving, I get that. I'm good with that. But if you're crying in front of me because you're trying to get me to cry, or you're trying to get me to feel some type of way, you got the wrong guy. Because I don't do that. I don't do that. Because at the end of the day, when you're done crying, the situation is still the way it is and it's got to be solved. You know, and praise God for my queen. She knows that. And I'm sensitive to the emotion. If the emotion is genuine, I'm very sensitive to that. If I know the emotion is not genuine, then I am not sensitive to that. Okay. And that's why I said, you know, women are emotional thinkers and men think emotionally, you know, and what I mean by, you know, certain men think emotionally is that they think first and then the emotion will take over. Okay. Where women sometimes will allow their emotions to dictate their thoughts. That's just my opinion. You don't have to agree with it, but that's just how I feel and things that I've noticed. Okay. And you can't tell me that women are not emotional beings. They are. They're supposed to be. They're supposed to be. Okay. All right. So understand behaviors. All right. Number 8, be slow to speak. You know, my mom always said there's a reason that you have, you know, 2 ears and 1 mouth. Slow to speak, easy to listen, slow to wrath. That's what the Bible talks about. Take your time. You know, everybody want to get the word, to get that last word in. You know. But you can't understand, you know, that your mate is trying to communicate with you because you're trying to get your point across. Shut up. Listen. Then respond. Stop, breathe, receive, and then respond. Said, yeah, stop, breathe, receive, and respond. Some of y'all got it bass backwards. Okay. Be slow to speak. Easy to listen. Slow to, as the OG, triple OG says, slow to anger. All right. Number nine, give some space. You know, sometimes if you're not agreeing, constantly trying to pound your point is going to cause more division and more conflict. Okay. A lot of times you have to give your mate space. You know, I know, you know, with the queen, she at times and she'll want to get her point across, but she understands that I may be in that mode, you know, that Coach Young mode. And she realizes and recognizes that. And a lot of times she just lets me, you know, deal with it on my own. She'll give me my space. She doesn't get in front of me and constantly want to belabor the point. Okay. You know, and I take my parents, for instance. There are times where my mom wanted to get her point across, and all she needed to do was allow my dad to just take time and think, and then she could come back. But there were times that mama was so impatient and she wanted to get her point across that she constantly kept talking. And after a certain point, you talking and we'll tune you out. Then you get mad because we tune you out. But you got to give us the time, give us some space to be able to process. And that's vice versa. You got to be able to give your mate time to process things. Okay. Last but not least, number 10, invest in your relationship. Your marriage and your relationship is an investment. And I'm not talking about money. It's an investment of your time. It's an investment of your spirit. It's an investment of your heart, you know. And you have to invest in your relationship. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. So if you don't put anything in it, you're not going to get anything out of it. And then you're going to stand around and complain on why you didn't get what you, you know, get what you get out of it. Make an investment in her. Husbands, make an investment in him. Wives, invest your time, invest your heart, invest your spirit. Like I said, it's not about money. It's not about money. It isn't, you know. I'll say this again, is that, you know, I used to hear that a relationship and a marriage is 50-50. And that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. It's 100-100. It's 100-100. You give 100, she give 100. But it's 100. It's not a give or take thing. You know, me and my wife, we used to have a running joke. You know, what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. You know. But invest in your relationship. Invest in your relationship. Okay. Listen, guys. The devil is out here to try to destroy relationships, destroy marriages, make a mockery, a sham mockery of relationships and marriage. It is an abomination, you know, the stuff that I see nowadays. And I'm just so incredibly grateful that God brought me through my knucklehead stage and really put people in front of me that showed me how to be not only a man of God, but a man of integrity, a husband, a father, a brother, you know, and how to deal with certain things. And I'm going to say this to, you know, to everybody who hears this. If you know that you're not moving correctly in your relationship, if you know that you're not moving correctly in your marriage, I'm trying to tell you right now, you have the ability to change. You have the ability to change right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but now. Okay. God is a God of transformation. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of love. He's a God of healing. So I don't know why I'm led right now, but I know there's somebody that's going to hear this podcast. They're going to hear this, and they're going through something in their marriage, or they're going through something in their relationship. And what I'm saying to you, what Coach Young is saying to you right now, is give it unto God. Stop trying to fix things that only he can fix. Stop trying to be a mechanic and you don't know the first thing about a tool. I really need for everyone in the sound of my voice to hear this. When you let go and you let God and you try God, watch what he does. So if you know there needs to be a change in your life, give it to God and watch what he does. If you know that there needs to be a transformation in your life, give it to God and watch what he does. Watch how God can take a situation that looks like dire, that looks dire, and he can find the victory in all of it. So if you don't understand anything that I said to you in this podcast, understand that God is in control. Let him do what he's been doing for a very, very long time. And if you know that you need a change in your life, then you repeat this after me. Father, I thank you. Father, I love you. Father, there are things that are in my life that I need you to change. And Father, I'm willing for that change to take place as long as you do it. Father, I submit myself unto you. Father, I release whatever burdens and cares and anxieties and things that might be hindering my relationship, my marriage. Father, bless my wife. Father, bless my husband. And Father, I thank you for the miracles, signs, and wonders that you will show me. I thank you for the healing and deliverance that is going to take place in my life. Father, I honor you and I thank you. And I give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It ain't over, y'all. Trust and believe it's not over. Anything that you're going through right now in your relationship and your marriage can be fixed. But you got to give it to God. And you got to let him do what he's been doing and what he's going to continue to do. Okay? So, I'm going to get out of here. Like I said, I don't want to rush through this, and I'm not going to rush through this. So our next episode, We are definitely going to get into love and understanding of one another. And then finally, the final episode will be about submission. And so I look forward in doing that. I look forward in that taking place. So, all right, guys, I got to get out of here. Remember, love on somebody. Tell somebody you love them. Don't always assume that they know. Be blessed. Man, time flies when you're having fun. My time is up, guys. But I thank you for joining me for Real Talk for Real People. And I pray that the information that you receive today be on soft soil. And I pray that your week be successful and prosperous in Jesus' name. Join me next week for another intriguing episode of Real Talk for Real People. And until then, remember, whenever you talk to someone, make sure to keep it real. I'll see you next week.